audio for the caliphates. This is the standard version. If you have the ER version, which you should see at the top of your paper, you should use the other audio track. The Ummah under Muhammad, which was 622 to 632 AD. Muhammad and most of the Muslims fled the city of Mecca in 622. This is called the Hijra, and it marks year zero in the Muslim calendar. Muslims resettled in the nearby city of Medina, and shortly after the Hijra, conflict broke out between the Muslims and Mecca. Muhammad led several stunning victories against the more powerful government of Mecca before finally conquering Mecca in 629. Shortly after, most of the tribes of Arabia had pledged loyalty to Muhammad, or entered into an alliance with him. The Rashidun Caliphate, which is 632 to 661 AD. The founder of Islam, the Prophet Muhammad, died in the year 632. His successor, the first caliph, was elected in that year, Abu Bakr, who was Muhammad's father-in-law and one of his leading lieutenants, and he became the first caliph. Abu Bakr reigned until his death in 634, only 2 years later. He was succeeded by Umar ibn Khattab, who reigned for 10 years until 644. When Umar was assassinated, a council of Muslim leaders elected Uthman ibn Affan, who reigned until 656. He too was assassinated, and Muhammad's son-in-law Ali seized control of the caliphate and reigned until 661. These first four caliphs are known as the rightly guided caliphs or the Rashidun caliphs. They all knew Muhammad personally, and during their reigns, despite the challenges and despite the instability that they had to deal with, the caliphate grew stronger and succeeded conquering vast areas of the Middle East, Egypt, and Persia. The Umayyad Caliphate, 661 to 750 AD. Ali's succession was controversial, and it plunged the Muslim community into civil war. The governor of Syria, Muawiyah, won the civil war, and he turned the caliphate into a hereditary monarchy in the hands of his family, the Umayyads, and it became the Umayyad dynasty. Under the Umayyads, the empire grew immensely. North Africa, Spain, and much of Central Asia and India were conquered. But it was also under the Umayyads that the conquests finally ground to a halt. Defeats at Constantinople in 718, at Tours in 732, and Sindh in 725 turned back the tide of Muslim conquests and defined the borders of the caliphate for most of the next 600 years. Despite these setbacks to their ambitions, the Umayyad caliphs ruled a vast state, one of the largest empires in world history. This expansion caused severe stresses within the empire. At this time, the Ummah was still dominated by Arabs, even though they were now no longer the ethnic group of the majority of Muslims. More and more, other ethnic groups called for power within the Ummah. The Abbasid Caliphate, 750 to 1258 AD. In 747, a revolt by Persian Muslims broke out in the eastern part of the caliphate. They called themselves the Abbasids. By 750, the Abbasid forces had control of most of the caliphate. All surviving members of the Umayyad family were tracked down and killed. Only one of them survived, fleeing to Spain, where he founded a rival state that would later claim to be the true caliphate. The Abbasid caliphate is by far the longest dynasty of the early caliphate. The strength of the Abbasids was neither military nor was it political. Within 200 years of their takeover, there were a dozen new states that sprung up out of the caliphate, but each of these were technically loyal to the Abbasids, just not actually that loyal. The Golden Age of Islam. The rule of the Abbasids has generally been termed the Golden Age of Islam. The Abbasids put a lot of focus on scientific, philosophical, and mathematic understandings. They put faith in hadiths such as, "The ink of the scholar is more precious than the blood of the martyr." During this time, the caliphate made enormous advances in most major scientific pursuits. Of particular note are advances in math, like algebra was created in the caliphates. Medicine also significantly advanced, as did astronomy. The Caliphate was also the center of culture, where literary works from the Middle East, Europe, Africa, India, and China could be found in huge numbers. It was also extraordinarily wealthy. Merchants from the Caliphate purchased silk, spices, porcelain, paper, coffee, citrus, tea, and other rare goods. And then they would then sell those to Europe and to Africa at enormous markups, becoming very, very rich in the process. Baghdad, center of the world. At the center of the Abbasid trade routes, the Caliph al-Mansur built the new city of Baghdad. This new city, which had become the capital of the caliphate, became not only the center of Islamic culture, but the center of world culture. Trade routes that stretched from Africa to Asia to Europe to Indonesia all met in Baghdad. This gave Baghdad a unique position as a melting pot of dozens of cultures, philosophies, and academic works. Caliph al-Mansur's new city of Baghdad was built with one enterprising goal in mind: to stand unrivaled, the greatest city of the world. The city grew rapidly after creation, its economic power, booming trade, cultural and intellectual dominance, and dizzying wealth, establishing it as the center of an empire that stretched from the east and into North Africa. It is one of the tragedies of history that nothing stands today from Baghdad's golden age. However, 9th century geographer and historian al-Yakubi described the early Baghdad as a city with no equal on earth, either in the Orient or in the Occident, being the most expansive city in area, in importance, and in prosperity. The House of Wisdom. The center of Baghdad was the House of Wisdom, an enormous library. It was originally created as a project to protect knowledge, including philosophy, astronomy, science, mathematics, and literature. But the library grew to become the center of intellectual growth and discovery in the world, and would remain so for over 400 years. The House of Wisdom's first project was collecting and translating numerous works from the Greek literary canon, which is like the big works of Greek writing. And that established an enormous influence on Arab thought. Works, including those by Plato, Aristotle, Ptolemy, Hippocrates, and Euclid, were requested from libraries in the West and then brought back to Baghdad to translate. At the same time, such works were disappearing from Europe, and its literary populace was declining all throughout the early Middle Ages. If not for the House of Wisdom, most of the Greek canon probably would not have survived. Scholars and scientists came from all over Europe, the Middle East, Africa, and Asia to the House of Wisdom to study. From this center came enormous advances in math, astronomy, optics, and medicine. It was the opening of trade between Europe and the Caliphate in the 1200s which brought on the beginning of Europe's ascension. The Renaissance, Enlightenment, and scientific revolution all drew their inspiration from the works of Muslim scholars or the works reintroduced to Europe from the Caliphate. End of the Abbasids. Eventually, the gradual weakening of the military would prove disastrous. In 1258, the Mongols arrived from Central Asia. Insulted by the Abbasid Caliph al-Mutasim, the Mongols crushed the armies of the Abbasids, and they laid waste to Baghdad. The accomplishments of the House of Wisdom and the Islamic Golden Age were brought to a cruel halt. The mosques, libraries, homes, and hospitals of the great city were all destroyed. The family of the last Abbasid Caliph al-Mutasim, as well as hundreds of thousands of the city's inhabitants, were slaughtered, and the extensive collection of books and manuscripts of the House of Wisdom were thrown into the Tigris River. It is said that for days afterwards, the river ran black with the ink of books and red with the blood of citizens. The Mamluks and Ottomans. The fall of the Abbasid Caliphate led to a number of empires that continued to claim the authority of Muhammad's successors. The two greatest, the Mamluk and Ottoman Sultanates, were both strong military powers with conservative governments. The sun began to set on the Islamic Golden Age the moment they took over. The Mamluk Sultanate of Egypt filled the vacuum of the Islamic world immediately after the fall of Baghdad. They appointed a puppet caliph and pretended to carry on the Abbasid dynasty, and they're sometimes referred to as the Cairo Abbasid Caliphate, but there is no real connection between the two dynasties. The sultan ruled, not the caliph. In fact, caliphal authority had declined so much that one Mamluk leader announced, "Stupid fellow, for God's sake, who pays any heed to the caliph now?" The Ottoman Sultanate began to rise in the 1300s as the Mongols fell out of power in the Middle East, and a rivalry began between the Ottomans and the Mamluks for dominion of the Ummah. In 1517, the Ottomans conquered the Mamluks and had the last of the Cairo Abbasids surrender his place as caliph to the Ottoman Sultan. For the next 400 years, the Ottomans would dominate Islam. Most of the Muslim world was reunified under the Ottomans, and for the first time in centuries, new lands were added to the caliphate. For the second time in history, the caliphate pushed deep into Europe, culminating in the defeat at Vienna in 1683. During the 1750s, the Ottomans began a long decline that eventually ended in the splitting up of the empire at the end of World War I in 1918, and its eventual final collapse in 1924. And that's the end.